Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the WWE No Mercy pay-per-view recap. I am Don Tony. It is currently 10:45 p.m. on Sunday night, October 9th. And I got to tell you all, I have said before that I treat the shows and the Patreon page like a business, always striving to give you the best quality out there, whether it's audio quality, content, you know, just this is a hobby. But I also have to treat it like a business because there are a lot of very important people, especially on our Patreon page, that I have to make sure that their experience as being part of our Patreon family is the most enjoyable experience possible. And, you know, just like with a job, sometimes you get up and you're like, oh, I don't want to go to work today. Can I call in sick? Can I make an excuse? Could I say that someone died? Could I say that... I promised everyone I was going to do a No Mercy recap tonight, and I watched every minute of the pay-per-view. I did not watch the Donald Trump-Hillary Clinton debate. However, I see the Twitter feed, and I see a little bit of here and there of what's going on, so I have an idea of what went down. By the time our regular listeners hear this recap, which will be attached to the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show Monday night, obviously I would have seen the debate already. So, but as of right now, I actually put our Patreon family and No Mercy ahead of real life and politics. I hope you appreciate it. Now, very quickly, I want to shout out Billy Taylor, who won the pay-per-view predictions contest that we had up on Patreon. He got 11 points. And if you want to join our Patreon page, check it out. Patreon.com/DonTony. So much cool shit up there. You got Breakfast Soup, Castle Chronicles, their Patreon exclusive podcast that we do every week. We have contests up there, giveaways. We got a lot of cool interactive shit. Mish and I are going to be doing a call-in show probably next week for our entire Patreon audience. Go check it out. It's a lot of fun. But Billy, go check out our Patreon page. You know, all the details are up there. Make sure you private message me your address and the subject for your prize. And for people that don't know how that works, and this seems to be the most popular, creative way that I've come up with prizes in the future, what we're going to do for the silver and gold giveaways and on the pay-per-view contest is simple. You pick the subject, I pick the prize. You could pick any wrestler, past or present, diva, past or present, factions, promotions, cliques, groups, I don't care, tag teams, Hall of Fame. You could say to me, Don Tony, I want Macho Man Randy Savage as my prize. You pick the subject, I pick the prize. Now, let's say, for example, Billy says, yeah, I want Macho Man Randy Savage. Well, I may send him an autographed photo for Macho Man. Everything's legit, certificate of authenticity, whatever. You know, so this way, I know you win something that you really, really want. If I come up here and say, I'm going to give away autograph, blah, 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 of Dolph Ziggler, you might turn around and win it, and you're going to be like, I don't like Dolph Ziggler. And you might put it up on eBay. I mean, you can put the shit up on eBay anyway, even if you like the stuff, but I want to give away stuff that people really will enjoy. So, anyway, No Mercy pay-per-view tonight. You know, a couple of tidbits just to let you know right off the bat. Becky Lynch did not compete, and neither did Curt Hawkins. One is due to injury, one is not. Curt Hawkins cut a promo. I'm not going to, you know, I said I would be in the ring, and yeah, I'm in the ring, and I'm letting everybody know I'm going to wrestle too. Whatever. So he didn't wrestle. Now, Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss did not happen. Before the pay-per-view started earlier today, we were told that Becky Lynch is suffering from an injury that didn't happen in the ring. She's going to be out for about a month. I started getting in touch with people that I know in wrestling to find out what exactly happened to her. And a little birdie told me that she had to get an emergency appendectomy. Now, I'll be totally honest with everybody out there. By Monday night, we may know exactly what happened to Becky Lynch. I cannot get that confirmed. I've checked everywhere online. I've asked all different people. Nobody knows why she is in the hospital or out of action or whatever it is. Somebody told me emergency appendectomy. You know, it could be correct, could not be correct. You know, it's not being reported anywhere, but hopefully we'll know by Monday night. And we wish her the best as well. Now, they did say that Alexa Bliss was going to wrestle tonight. We didn't know who her opponent was. You know, people asked me early on online, who would you like for it to be? I said, you know, I mean, obviously they don't want her to come back as a babyface. So would it be cool to see, you know, I almost said Maria. Eva Marie. Actually, I was right. Eva Marie. I would have liked to have seen her make an appearance tonight, even if the match didn't go down. But obviously, she's not going to be a babyface, and Alexa Bliss is not a babyface. You know, I will reveal later on who we ended up having. You know, also, you know, we were a little bit, I don't want to say swerved online, because I think this was just people's wishful thinking. We were told early in the day that the heavyweight title match was going to be the opening match on the pay-per-view. Now, some people are media saying, oh, this is the first time ever that the main event was, you know, the opening match. Well, I put on our Facebook page three examples where that's actually not correct. And, you know, just because the last match of the night, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the pay-per-view. When I grew up going to WWF shows in the Garden, you know, the main event actually happened earlier in the night. Wasn't always the match that ended the show. Now, the three-way for the heavyweight title was the quote-unquote advertised main event. So whether it happened first, or it happened fifth, or it happened last, it was the advertised main event. But you can't just take the last match, you know, or a title match and immediately think that it's a main event. Because remember, we had Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, you know, to open up a WrestleMania. We even had, I think, an Orton Triple H match not too long. I even think No Mercy 2007 opened up with a heavyweight title match. Didn't Edge take on Alberto Del Rio at a WrestleMania for heavyweight title open up Mania? So heavyweight title matches have opened up pay-per-views. But if you want to use the classification of main event opening a pay-per-view, maybe you can call it a first, okay? But we had the pre-show tonight. Pre-show had Chad Gable, Jason Jordan, Mojo Rawley, and Zack Ryder defeating Connor and Victor, along with Aiden English and Simon Gotch. I mean, typical, you know, opening match, nothing major coming out of it. Annoyed the shit out of me that I'm on the WWE Network and they interrupt the match for a fucking WWE 2K7 commercial. Come on, we're on the fucking network. Don't interrupt the goddamn match. Add a fucking commercial after the match ends, you know? And I got to tell you, it was funny because I'm watching Victor and Connor in the ring, especially Victor. If you look at his face paint now, he looks like a low-budget Zodiac. You remember when Brutus Beefcake was the Zodiac in WCW? It's just like black lines. It's just fucking pathetic. I looked at it. I was like, is that the fucking Zodiac? It looked like the Zodiac fucked. No, that was actually Connor. Connor looked like the Zodiac fucked. I'm drawing a fucking blank. Big Vito. Yes, Big Vito. That's what they look like. But anyway, you know, whatever. And you know what? I don't recall hearing golly for most of the night, but we did get a golly during the pre-show tonight. The golly count was at one. Maybe I just didn't pay attention after that, because I've got to be honest with you. David Otunga is the drizzling shits. I am not jealous that he is in pristine physical condition, you know, he's just physically fit. I'm not jealous that he's married to a fucking trillionaire. I'm not jealous that he's on TV. I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with everything about me. All right. It's not because I hate every time you criticize someone, people are like, you're just jealous because you're not a wrestler. You're just he's the drizzling shits. He took the air out of the balloon so many times tonight. There was one part especially. I mean, we had the opening match, all right? John Cena versus Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles. Triple threat for the WWE title. Early on in the match, there was a spot where AJ Styles tried to give a suplex to Dean Ambrose. Now, picture this, okay? AJ Styles has got Dean Ambrose about to do a suplex. So what does John Cena do? He grabs AJ Styles. Now, AJ Styles does not let go of Dean Ambrose. So it looks like John Cena did a suplex to both AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose. It looked pretty fucking cool. Even though John Cena is starting to disappoint me in the ring a little bit more with his offensive moves, especially reversals, and I'll get into that momentarily. But right after they do the double suplex, all right, fucking Mauro Ranallo at the top of his lungs is doing a Mamma Mia! And he's into it. He's into it. I have no complaints of Mauro Ranallo at all. Mamma Mia! Really, really cool. What the fuck right after that? Listen to it back. You hear David Otunga in his calm voice, and he says something like, "This is going to be the difference in a match later. John Cena's power. This is it." And I'm like, come on, man. Stop fucking taking the air out of the balloon. You hear JBL all excited. You hear Mauro Ranallo all excited. And you got Matarazzo Otunga. Oh, this is going to be the difference in a match. John Cena, his power. Come on. Anyway, watch the match back. Okay? It's not just the STF that John Cena put on AJ Styles. It's not just, you know, the reversals. But you got to watch a lot of John Cena's holds. He doesn't give the suspension of disbelief of putting an extraordinary amount of strength or pressure on his opponent. And it's almost like he doesn't care where the move looks on camera. And I'll give you an example. And this is not Don Tony nitpicking. I've been noticing this more and more lately. And if I point it out, you'll see it from now on. All right. There was a point where AJ Styles put a sleeper on John Cena. John Cena reversed the sleeper hold and did it to AJ Styles. You watch it back. Where is, now think of a sleeper hold. Okay, what do? You put the arm around, you know, like the neck area to like hold the head into place. Then you take the other arm and you're supposed to do a suspension of disbelief where you're putting pressure on the temple area, and you know the guy's supposed to get woozy, blah 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 blah. Well, what does John Cena have pressure on? Not the temple. Not the forehead, not AJ Styles' haircut, on John Cena's own wrist. Go look at it back. They have a close-up on the fucking sleeper, and he's putting pressure, or suspension of disbelief, putting pressure on his own wrist. It's fucking lame. And like I said, that wasn't the only time. Look at the STF. You know, you could see, like, AJ Styles' head has so much wiggle room behind it. And like I said, I don't want John Cena to, well, let me really put pressure so everybody believes it. No, I don't want him to squash AJ's head like a grape, but it just seems John Cena is getting very complacent in his matches. I don't know if anybody else has noticed it out there. There was one point where AJ Styles did a beautiful 450 splash from the top rope on the side of the ring, not the turnbuckle. Really, really, really sweet. There was one, I guess you could call it a clusterfuck, because people were confused. And I know a lot of fans out there, you know, and I know the announcers were like, whoa, you know, the ref did the right thing. And, you know, people were still confused. All right. What happened was this. Dean Ambrose had the calf crusher on AJ Styles. While Dean Ambrose has that move on AJ Styles, Cena applies the STF. So now you got two wrestlers doing two submission moves on AJ Styles at the same time. So what happens? AJ Styles taps. They call for the bell. So now everybody's like, wait, who won? So, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, Dean Ambrose, not the announcer, but people that were watching the show. I was watching the feeds online. And some people were like, well, Ambrose had a submission maneuver on first. He should get the win. Well, it should be a draw. And they ended up restarting the match. And people were confused as fuck. You know, like, you know, why are they restarting the match? AJ Styles tapped. If AJ Styles tapped, I know it wasn't an elimination match, but maybe in suspension of disbelief, you don't let AJ Styles continue. But anyway, they let the match continue. And a couple of moments later, AJ Styles grabs a chair because there's no DQ, hits Cena, gets the pin, 1-2-3. So your winner and still WWE World Champion AJ Styles. Next, we had Carmella versus Nikki Bella. And I'm going to just get to the point right up front. I don't know. Maybe it was just high-definition TV, and maybe it was the angle, but I could have sworn I saw a nip slip with Carmella. There was a point, I would say, towards the end of the match where Carmella and Nikki Bella were both laid out in the ring. Not completely unconscious, but a little bit laid out. And if you watch Carmella, like, she turned a little bit, and it seemed like her boobs were a little bit pushed up a little bit. I thought we saw a nip slip. Now, because of the WWE Network, and I'm not going to start fucking with DVRs and this and that, and I'm not, I got a beautiful girl inside. I don't need to go find a YouTube clip and rewind. I'm just telling anyone else out there that may see the match, look at it closely. I think we might have gotten a little bit of a nip slip. And it was funny because just at that moment where I thought I saw a nip slip, for like the next 2 minutes, the camera would not go below Carmella's chest area when she was facing the camera. And I don't think that was by design. I think it was just bad luck, coincidence. But anyway, match was okay. You know, Carmella is definitely finding her niche as a heel. Carmella is improved. You know, there was a lot of sloppiness in the match. It's also suspension of disbelief. You know, the whole match, Carmella's trying to injure Nikki's neck. And Nikki gets the upper hand. What does she do? Drop kicks. You know what I mean? Like, later on, she did, like, a nice kick in the corner. But, you know, even there was some other moves. You look at the super kick that was executed and missed by a mile. There were some moves that were really sloppy. I mean, it just didn't have the feel of two women that really, really, in storyline, dislike each other all that much. I mean, Carmella, though, is really improving quickly. A lot of screaming, a lot of reacting to the crowd, something that Baron Corbin needs to take a page from. Seriously, I'll get into Baron Corbin a little bit later. But anyway, Nikki wins with the, I think she's calling it the Rack Attack 2.0. You know, when we did the pay-per-view predictions contest, there were a lot of people that thought that Carmella was going to get the victory. Nope, it was Nikki Bella. So she is your winner. Now we had the Usos versus Rhino and Heath Slater for the tag titles. And going back to the predictions contest, I can't get over how many people thought the Usos were winning tonight. And if you remember our pay-per-view predictions contest on Monday, I think I predicted every match correct except for one. And I don't want to say which one that was until later. But when Kev and I did a prediction, I think Kev predicted the Usos. And I said, nah, I think it's way too soon to take the belt off of Rhino and Heath Slater. You know, there was a funny chant early on. Crowd is chanting, "He got kids." Crowd was pretty cool tonight. Shout out to Isaac and everybody else. There were multiple Don Tony signs in the crowd tonight. Some made it to TV. There was, I think, at least three Matarazz signs, which is really, really cool. But I love the DonTony.com signs because it's so little writing that you have to do. You do wrestling-news.com. It's just long, and some people may not see the dash. You just write DonTony.com, right? It leads you to the same place. So anyway, we had the Usos losing to Rhino and Heath Slater tonight. Match was fun. You know, back and forth. There was one point where fucking Heath Slater caught a nice super kick to the face. Suspension of disbelief, it looked beautiful. Now, as far as the Urban Usos today, this is what they wore. Jey Uso was, now you got to picture this. Jey Uso was wearing a pair of jeans that looked like something that I wore in the 1980s. It was light, stonewash, almost like a bluish white, like a light. If anybody remembers Alessio ripped jeans from the 80s, that's what it looked like. It looked like he was wearing these light, almost white ripped jeans with yellow sneakers. Okay. Jimmy Uso was wearing a gray t-shirt, which he never took off. He wore pretty much white jeans and yellow sneakers. And that was their look. I mean, the match was fun. There was nothing spectacular coming out of it. You know, they kept bringing up that Rhino's running for office and this and that. I mean, Rhino wins with a gore and Jey Uso. I think Jey also had like a blue bandana, you know, like in the back pocket or something. But I don't know, the ring attire, I mean, the jeans look damn comfortable. I will say that. But this is the Urban Usos. I don't know. I'm not... not sure if I like the look, especially the gray shirt. It reminded me of Ric Flair, Last Nitro. And no way am I saying that Jimmy Uso is out of shape, but I didn't understand wearing the gray shirt. It's just like a gray t-shirt. I don't know. Anyway, we get to Baron Corbin versus Jack Swagger. Remember the all-new Jack Swagger. I'm trying to figure out what is all new about him. He still comes out to the same music, same We the People, same outfit, same haircut, same 5 o'clock shadow, same in-ring moves, same everything. I don't know exactly what is new about Jack Swagger. He didn't do bad in the ring. I felt bad for both guys because they got boring chants. Baron Corbin showed more emotion in this match than usual. Baron Corbin is a problem. And it's not just the Red Devil tummy that we've joked about in the past. Baron Corbin is not connecting with the crowd. There was one point where Baron Corbin jaw-jacked, quote-unquote, with a fan sitting ringside. Now, for all we know, he didn't even jaw-jack with a fan. He could have been looking at a pad, at a turnbuckle. He could have been looking at the fucking rope, pretending, because that's what they do. You know, when I was told early on, you know, when you're going to cut a promo, if you're going to do a speech, even in real life, I had to go to Albany several years back, talk about insurance fraud. I spoke in front of 3,000 people. All right. And, you know, somebody told me at that time, you know, if you're going to be nervous, you know, just, you know, look at a speaker and, you know, it'll look like you're looking at everybody, but you're actually be looking at a speaker. And, you know, there's tricks with that. But, you know, Baron Corbin is quote unquote jaw-jacking with one fan in the front row, and he says to the fan, "This is for you." And what the fuck does Baron Corbin do? He does a running fist to Jack Swagger. I'm trying to do a pop with my mouth. Big fucking deal. A fucking running fist. Come up with something a little bit more powerful, a little bit more intimidating, a little bit more fucked up, or better yet, fucking do reverse psychology and fucking tease you're going to do a move and don't do nothing at all. I know this ain't like you used to. You could give, you know, the finger to somebody in the audience or just do the arm gesture like, fuck you. But Baron Corbin needs to show more emotion to the crowd. Jack Swagger was getting boring chants tonight, was not impressing much at all, but as soon as he goes to the corner and he lifts up his arm, you'll get fucking half of the crowd to go, "We the People." Baron Corbin needs to get loud with the fans. Baron Corbin is not Carmella. They're not same style, but Baron Corbin needs to take notice of what Carmella's doing. She's more vocal, more talkative, saying things to the crowd. He's got to show more emotion, but he's got to do it directly to the crowd. Get the crowd pissed off. Go down to the fucking ringside area and just threaten like you're going to hit somebody or fucking get in their face and say something. Jericho does it. Baron Corbin needs to make some changes, and I hope he does. Because I am somewhat of a fan of Baron Corbin, but right now he is not impressing me. He's not. And, you know, you could see that he's really trying. But if he doesn't connect with the fans soon, that's it. That's it. It's really, look what's happened to the Void Villains. The Void Villains, in my opinion, WWE didn't give them a fair shake. And they got to a point where they could still turn it around, but it's like the Puerto Ricans. Look at the Puerto Ricans on Raw. They're now all of a sudden giving them victories. Do you really feel like they're on any momentum to possibly win titles? No, it's just filling a spot on television. And I'm a little concerned about Baron Corbin. They need to, they don't have to tweak much, but they need to do some. Now we have career versus title. Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz. Now, there was a lot of confusion early on. I didn't say this early. I should have. That once we knew that the heavyweight title was going to open up No Mercy, people immediately thought, oh, that means Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz is going to end No Mercy tonight, which obviously means there's a more than likely chance that Ziggler is going to retire. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be a send-off. It's going to be... And a lot of people, including myself, thought, hey, you know, that makes sense. Miz versus Ziggler. And No Mercy. Nice little rub. I don't think anybody would have complained. Well, next thing we know, we get Ziggler versus Miz. And now we realize that Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton is ending No Mercy. Which immediately, myself and others started thinking there was going to be a run-in tonight for the main event. Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. You know, people are speculating, you know, people would die and have Luke Harper. But if you followed the news lately, Luke Harper returned, wrestled for Raw, teamed up with Kevin Owens at a house show, I think in Chile, over the weekend. You know, so, and the rumors were that Luke Harper was going to feud with Braun Strowman. I'm sure you people have read it. And I've said it repeatedly on the shows. Please leave Luke Harper on SmackDown. Don't, why fuck up something that is working? Luke Harper and Eric Rowan need to be together. They are part of the Wyatt family. What the fuck is with this obsession of splitting them up? Now, it sucks because Eric Rowan is injured. All right, I don't know if people are aware of this, but Eric Rowan is out with an injury. Now, obviously, on the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show, since most of you are hearing this Monday night, I talked about the injury. But now, with Eric Rowan being injured, it's like neither one of these two could get together. You got Luke Harper injured, Eric Rowan's in the ring. Now, Eric Rowan gets injured, and Luke Harper, I'm ready! Where are you? And now he's injured. But you know, so we were all wondering, okay, run in tonight, main event. So anyway, we get back to Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. And I got to be totally honest with you. For three quarters of the match, I didn't like it because if you would have put the volume down and you did not follow wrestling for the last month, it did not feel like a match where someone was wrestling for their life. Think of the heartfelt, emotional, real intense promos that Dolph Ziggler has cut leading up to tonight's match. And I'm watching this match, and it felt like I was watching a SmackDown match at times. And again, this is all suspension of disbelief, but when you have that kind of emotion in your promos, you're wrestling for your life. This is your last chance. I mean, this part, think of when Bret Hart wrestled Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series 97. I'm not talking about the end where Bret Hart got screwed, but the match earlier on, now obviously you can't compare the two because they brawled into the crowd, this, this, and that, but everybody, if you remember Jim Ross announced, he's talking about how this is Bret Hart's last match in WWF, and they were brawling. I mean, they were really going at it, and I know that's not Miz's style, but Dolph Ziggler did not wrestle a match like this is his last shot, you know, go all out against Miz, you know, take everything out of the book. There was spots where both of them were, quote unquote, like incapacitated in the ring and they're moving around struggling. And I'm like, come on, I didn't buy it. The last quarter of the match, though, got really good, really fast. Yes, I know we got, you know, interference from, you know, two members of the Spirit Squad. Once again, Kenny and Mikey, which was not needed, you know. And we got what I said on the last pay-per-view recap. What I've said a few times this year. What happens? A referee throws someone out from ringside. They do it to Lana. They do it to Maryse. They do it to others. You out of here. And what happens? And I talked about this on the last recap. The girl, last case, Lana, all upset. No, you can't ejaculate. But they fucking bolt out of the ringside area. And fucking tonight, we had Nikki get involved. We had, not Nikki, we had Mikey get involved. Nikki was in the ring. We had Mikey get involved. We had Kenny get involved. And we had Maryse get involved. So what does the referee do? Really, really slow. You. And I think it was Kenny was like, no, don't say me. You. Out of here. And all three of them, no, you can't do that. You can't. And they fucking bolted. I mean, in suspension of disbelief, argue, plead, don't leave right away. There's plenty, even if it's an extra fucking minute on the pay-per-view, you're not going on, the pay-per-view went off the air at 10:42, I think, tonight, or 10:40. An extra minute wouldn't have killed anybody. They fucking do this, and they do it all the time now. When the referee says, you, out of here! No! Boom, gone. So what happens tonight? All three of them get ejected. Long story short, Dolph Ziggler gets the super kick on Miz. 1, 2, 3. Dolph Ziggler is your Intercontinental Champion. That is the only match that I got wrong on Monday, and I'll be honest with you. I said it on Twitter tonight. I seriously, seriously expected Dolph Ziggler take time off, represent WWE at the, you know, the, with all the politics going on. He's always on Fox Business. He really gels well with Kennedy there. I expected Dolph Ziggler to have an out of the ring career for a little while. I'm glad I was wrong. I enjoyed the last part of the match, and I'm glad Dolph Ziggler is going to stick around. Dolph Ziggler is good for the product. He's not bad. I mean, and if anybody notices, it's not because of lack of effort on his part. It's the way WWE's utilized him. I mean, you could find YouTube clips, me saying repeatedly, several times over the last couple of years, Dolph Ziggler was on Momentum couple of years ago. Then they did that stupid storyline where John Cena caused, you know, some guys to get fired. Wasn't it like Eric Rowan and Dolph Ziggler and some others? And when he came back, they had him get destroyed by fucking Wade Barrett. And his momentum just got sucked away. And ever since then, and even when he feuded with Dean Ambrose, you remember, I said from day one, there was no chance in the fucking world that Dolph Ziggler was going to beat Dean Ambrose. He was the only safe guy that Dean Ambrose could face, because WWE did not want Dean Ambrose to face someone else, because said person, if they were to face Dean Ambrose, would have won, a la AJ Styles. But the fact that Dolph Ziggler won tonight made me smile. I'm happy he's going to stick around. I'm happy that I was wrong. And I tell you, it surprised a lot of other people as well. So anyway, you know, you go from an emotional high, getting into that match, suspension of disbelief. Obviously, the next match is more like a piss break. We got Alexa Bliss in the ring. Obviously, Becky Lynch can't compete. So we're all wondering who she's going to face. Well, it ends up being, I still get no crowd, Poppy, yeah, yeah, yeah. I get no crowd, Poppy, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, if you notice, even the dancing, I think the crowd pops because of the glow-in-the-dark stuff. Oh, it's cool, glow-in-the-dark, yay, cool. She still gets no crowd pop, yay, yay, yay. Anyway, you know, Alexa Bliss, number one contender, takes on Naomi. Alexa Bliss loses. You know, they use the term 5 feet of fury for Alexa Bliss. And I made a stupid joke on Twitter tonight, because I come up with spur of the moment jokes on Twitter. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're not. I don't think about them days in advance or an hour in advance. It just comes to my mind. I'm like, okay, what rhymes with fury? So I came up with 5 feet of fury with no offensive flurry. Suspension of disbelief is really blurry. I wonder if it's furry. So anyway, yeah, that match, boom, no big deal. Didn't show me much. Alexa Bliss has a long way to go. Her look is fine. Her look is cute. I'm not criticizing that. In-ring wise, number one contender, no. I'm not feeling it. Anyway, main event. Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. And this goes back similar to what I said before about Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz. You think of all the mind games. You think of all the stuff, the backstage skits. And I'm watching, especially Randy Orton doing moves on Bray Wyatt. I understand Randy Orton has a certain in-ring repertoire that he does in all matches. But, you know, there's points where you have to remember the story that's being told. And this guy is doing basic moves here and there. And, you know, I was more into saying to myself, could we possibly get someone come out as Sister Abigail? Could we possibly get Luke Harper? Maybe we can even get an even bigger surprise and Brock Lesnar come out and crack his fucking head open again. Because for a main event, it just dragged. There were some outside moments here and there, you know, a little bit of brawling. But there's just, I don't know, it just, a lot of it fell flat. So anyway, the end of the match happens. The lights go out. Anyway, who enters the ring? It's Luke Harper. Luke Harper is just looking at Randy Orton, you know, and stupid fucking David Otunga. He got involved in the match. You know, he shouldn't have been there. It's a no DQ fucking match. All right? I mean, come on. He didn't lay his hands on Randy Orton's storyline. He just was looking at Randy Orton. Distracted Randy Orton. Sister Abigail, you know. Bray Wyatt hits his move. 1, 2, 3. That's how it went off the air. I will say this, from top to bottom, I don't know, it's weird. I enjoyed this pay-per-view. I don't know if I enjoyed it more than the Raw pay-per-view that just recently happened. I don't know. Maybe because I didn't like the whole Clash of Champions concept for just a Raw-only pay-per-view where a lot of matches weren't really Raw-only. I mean, where a lot of matches weren't title involved, that it should have been Raw. And so I've said that repeatedly. Clash of Champions should have been a joint pay-per-view. Have all the titles defended for all, you know, for both shows. I don't know. It was just strange. I mean, maybe because I was trying to just like keep my mind off of the debates that was going on tonight. But I don't know. I enjoyed tonight's show. On a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it maybe a 6 or a 7. I mean, I really can't go further out because, you know, the opening match to me was the best match of the night. If you go up and down the list, I mean, I'm sure Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz will be a close second. But Rhino and Heath Slater versus the Usos was nothing, you know, really memorable coming out of it. Nikki Bella versus Carmella wasn't anything great. Baron Corbin versus Jack Swagger was not, you know, really well received at all. You know, it's really, what are you left with? So, you know, there wasn't any matches that were really, really memorable. I mean, yeah, you could say The Miz versus Ziggler and the opening main event. But still, those two matches were not anything real. The opening match was really well done in certain spots. There was a couple of things here and there, but nobody's perfect. I'm not going to fucking nitpick over every little thing. But on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 6. All right. Let me say it like this. For a separate brand pay-per-view, I give it a 7. But if the roster was still combined and we got that tonight, I would have gave it a 6. You understand what I'm saying? Because of who is on the roster for SmackDown, if you only think of that talent and that talent only, on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 7. All right. And it is what it is. You know, hopefully, like I said, you know, we'll know by Monday night what the status of Becky Lynch is. Again, you know, it's something that happened outside the ring. You know, if it does end up being in like an emergency appendectomy or something, why not just say it? You know what I mean? And especially when you got little girls and kids that are big time into Becky Lynch's fans, you know, they get extremely worried. Oh my God, what happened? What happened? You know, and just fucking say it. Unless maybe it's something embarrassing, you know, but I don't know. But anyway, I should add this before we go. When they announced early on that Becky Lynch was not going to be able to compete, Alexa Bliss did a backstage segment with Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon saying that I should be the women's champion by default. And basically what they said, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, is no, we don't just give titles away, blah, 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 blah. But you will face Becky Lynch for the women's championship on the November 8th SmackDown Overseas Tour in Glasgow, Scotland. So Alexa Bliss will take on Becky Lynch on November 8th. And that's it. So, you know, I hope you enjoyed this pay-per-view recap. I don't want to, you know, make these recaps really, really long in time-wise. You know, I try to get them done as quickly as possible because, you know, the rosters are somewhat thin. And you give just enough, you know, to get into the meat and potatoes of it and we move on. You know, the pay-per-view is what it is. It was entertaining. It was done great. Wasn't, you know, nothing spectacular, but it wasn't bad either. So anyway, when is the next WWE pay-per-view? I'm looking at my notes. We got Hell in a Cell, October 30th, the day before Halloween. All right. So that means your next pay-per-view recap. Wow, I actually got 3 weeks off. How cool is that? Your next pay-per-view recap will be October 30th for Hell in a Cell. I am Don Tony. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for the support as always. Much appreciated. I'll catch you all again very, very soon. Ciao, everyone.